Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
I'm Brittany Pacheco.
And I'm sad.
And we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. Today we are here to discuss Secret Invasion. Yep, that's right. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is back on Disney Plus with a limited 6-episode series that follows Nick Fury and his allies as they attempt to thwart a Skrull invasion of Earth. Secret Invasion is the first series of Phase 5. Overall, it's the 9th Marvel Studios show on Disney Plus, with the premiere date of June 21st. The finale will be July 26th. The runtime of each episode is about 45 minutes to an hour. It's directed by Ali Salem. The cast includes Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Colby Smulders, Martin Freeman, Kingsley Ben-Adir, Charlene Woodard, Killian Scott, Samuel Aduwunmi, Dermot Mulroney, Christopher McDonald, Katie Finneran, Amelia Clark, Olivia Colman, and Don Cheadle. The first episode that we're talking about today, the series premiere, is entitled Resurrection. Now, Frank, I know you're excited about this series, Secret Invasion. What are your thoughts on the first episode?
This is a new Frank in town now. So I'm trying to watch shows and disassociate from the comic books, largely because there are parameters that Marvel just can't encounter yet, which I'm now becoming more understanding the older I get. So watching this as a single entity, I think is great. I think it's a great beginning. I think it's implanting seeds for the future and connecting seeds from the past. Going back to Captain Marvel and Spider-Man No Way Home and certain movies from the previous phases, they're not connecting the dots with some background stories with the Skrulls. With that being said, they have challenges. They have a lot of challenges ahead of them, because in the comic books, the X-Men and the Avengers are very monumentally important in this story. And to make this a featured Nick Fury story, which is fine, but if you're gonna have a potential cataclysmic disaster of villains, Nick Fury's not gonna be enough. So I want to see how they're gonna be able to do this, and explain to me how the Avengers are not gonna be involved, how the X-Men are not gonna be involved, and other Marvel teams that are so evolved in the comic books. But I'm going to give it a chance because this is one of my favorite comic book stories in Marvel history. I'm going to give it a chance. But from what I've seen so far, the MCU Disney version is a promising start. It's going to be hard to like navigate through this without those teams I mentioned before.
It seems like the similarity between the comic storyline and the show is that they're both called Secret Invasion, and that's where it kind of ends, it looks like. So, Brittany, what are your thoughts of the episode?
Justin's like, that's where it begins and ends, the name Secret Invasion.
Well,
I mean,
I've not read the comic storyline, but I did read the synopsis, and the synopsis is insane, and it's like, well, they're not going to do any of this stuff because it involves every character in Marvel.
You said it's so serious with the comparison.
Matter of factly,
you know,
Secret Wars is the Avengers movie supposedly coming up, I think, now in 2027. I do think it will be more like the comics because it's called Avengers Secret Wars and it will have Avengers in it, whereas in this show Nick Fury's in it and Don Cheadle, aka Rhodey, is in it, and he's an Avenger, but is he still an Avenger? That's a question we'll have to answer. But anyway, Brittany, I didn't want to jump on your... What are your thoughts on the first episode?
Just real quick, Justin, I want to give a shout out to those in the chat. Appreciate y'all being here. Nick and Claire all the way from the UK, aka Walking with the Woods. Thank you for being here. They said they didn't even know that it started already, Secret Invasion. Yes, it dropped Wednesday, the 21st.
Well, it was a secret, so it's...
there you go.
Secret Invasion.
And also shout out to Trisha, aka the Texas Potterhead. Welcome. Appreciate you being here. So I unlike Frank, and this is something I've said over and over again, I'm not a comic book reader. I never really have been. It's not my jam. It's what I've gotten from the MCU is pretty much all I know about, you know, characters and what have you. So I was definitely looking forward to Secret Invasion just because, honestly, solely Emilia Clarke. I mean, come on, Daenerys Targaryen, you know, Mother of Dragons, like, she holds a very special place in all of our hearts. So to see her jump from franchise to another franchise, and actually two more, that is of Star Wars, and then also with a Terminator franchise, like, to see her now become involved in the MCU is actually pretty cool to me. That being said, this premiere for me was very slow, and I feel like I'm missing information in general. I feel like they talked about some things that went on with other characters that I was just like, wait a minute, when did that happen? Did we see that happen? And there's some things that, like, Nick Fury would talk about that I'm just like, wait a minute, what do you mean you have 30 years experience with, like, the Skrulls and things like that? I'm like, did we see that? Like, I'm very confused, because I think there was even talk for a while when we first saw him in the space ship thing, Saber. It's kind of like, well, is that Nick Fury, the real Nick Fury all along? And has a Skrull been Nick Fury here on Earth? And so, like, there's, to me, there's just seems to be a lot of things that are not connecting or adding up, or maybe it's just me. I feel like I'm personally missing some things. Before we continue, I want to give a shout out to Mel, Geeking Out with Mel. Mel, I appreciate you saying that, Mel, for those who may have not known. I was sick, really sick, for a good month or so. I'm still not 100%, but I am very happy to be here with my fellow watchers and kind of getting back in the swing of some normalcy. So, yeah. So appreciate all y'all being here and all the kind words. Love y'all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back. And, you know, I think I have a similar opinion to the episode as you do. You know, it's like, just on the outset, it's a great cast. It's a very slow first episode with a surprise ending, which we'll get to that in a second. But Brittany, I wanted to ask you, you brought up Star Wars a second ago. Mm. Do you think this show, because this episode was a slow burn, do you think this show is going to be the Andor of the MCU? I ask you because you've actually watched Andor. I've never watched Andor. I don't think Frank even knows what it is. Anyway, do you think, like, how does it compare after one episode? Is it similar?
Yes, I would actually say that. With Andor, for me, it took three episodes before it got very good and very interesting. And it really, like, kept your, it had a grasp on you in terms of storyline. That being said, I know this is a six episode run miniseries for Secret Invasion. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, y'all, I'm hoping for the best. But yeah, this premiere episode just, it really didn't hit it for me. But in terms of, like, Andor, yeah, it's kind of similar. Yeah. So shout out to McDorks. They're here as well. Christian, hopefully, if Michael's here too. Hi, Michael. Hi, Christian. So welcome, y'all. Appreciate y'all being here. Andor is a story, Star Wars miniseries, if you will. That's also on Disney Plus.
Yeah. And I think it was kind of, like I said, I feel like this is going to be the same thing as Andor, just in the MCU. But
Andor did get good. Like I said, it took a really long time.
Took a while to get going. Yeah.
Yeah.
So back to Secret Invasion. Nick Fury is the main character, and I was thinking about this. When was the last time we saw Nick Fury? Was it Spider-Man Far From Home? I mean, obviously he was in What If, but wasn't it Far From Home the last time we saw? I mean, he was a character in that movie. Although I guess it was a Skrull version, but then he was in space in the post credit, right, Frank?
Yeah. He was in the post credit. He was on Saber. So okay. Talos and his wife played him and Maria Hill in that Spider-Man movie. So yeah, I mean they kind of touched on the last 30 years, because if you Fury meets Talos 30 years earlier during Captain Marvel, and I guess in the background. And this is what it's going to be hard to explain. In the background, the last 30 plus years, after the Kree-Skrull War, Fury makes a promise. Fury and Captain Ms. Marvel make a promise to, like, find new homes for the Skrulls. And so for the last 30 years, unbeknownst to the Avengers, unbeknownst to every single hero on the planet, nobody knows of the Skrulls outside of Captain Marvel and Nick Fury. So I guess during the last 30 years, doing this Avengers, this Marvel story arc, they've been looking for a home for these people. And it's just kind of hard to believe that you can keep this a secret for so long with nobody, with no other entities knowing outside of, I guess, certain members of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's where it kind of like loses it for me. Like, how do you fill in the gaps? And I mean, and they kind of talk about how like Talos worked with, you know, with Fury on Saber, and they were trying to find a home. And then the blip happens, and it just kind of they lose their way, which starts an uprising within the ranks of the Skrulls.
Yeah, and my thing is with, and maybe I misunderstood this, but so these renegade Skrulls, they have bombs that can obliterate the human race, and Nick Fury's not calling the Avengers to help. Did I get that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, he called them a lot in the past, and like, he put them together. The Avengers initiative was kind of his deal. So, I mean, there's still Avengers out there, right?
I mean, he does make mention about them, like, at some point. He said when he was, I can't even remember the context of why Avengers was even brought up, but the word Avengers was used. That's all I know.
Okay. kind of jumping around, but let's talk about the cast, because the cast is like loaded. This is an incredible cast. Obviously, you know, Sam Jackson's back as Nick Fury, and Ben Mendelsohn is Talos again, and Colby Smulders is Maria Hill for one episode, I guess. Martin Freeman is back as a Ross, but then we got some new blood. We've got, of course, you mentioned Amelia Clark, who is Gaia. She is Talos's daughter. Excuse me. We also have, I guess, our new big bad for this season so far is this character named Gravik, played by Kingsley Ben-Adir, which I was not familiar with this actor, but I feel like I've seen this guy before in something. Mm-hmm. He's the leader of the rebels, the leader of the group of rebel Skrulls. Skrulls is kind of hard to say.
Words are tough.
They're tough. And then, of course, you got Olivia Colman as this character, Sonia Fallsworth. Brittany, what's your take on the cast so far through the first episode?
I mean, I think it's a great cast, with the exception of the big bad, whom I know I've seen him somewhere else. I just can't like put that where I've seen him, like if it's a show or if it's another movie, or maybe this is like kind of not maybe his introduction into acting or anything like that, but I feel like I've seen him. Anyway, I feel like maybe he's one of those Bridgerton type of actors. I don't know. He just kind of has that look. But with Olivia Colman, I think she's brilliant, because she previously played Queen Elizabeth in The Crown before they you know, jumped years and they cast Imelda Staunton from Harry Potter, as we all know, as Professor Dolores Jane Umbridge, who's the real villain in the Harry Potter series. Let's be real. Anyway,
we digress. Do all definitely know that for sure. We definitely.
Yeah, I know. All of us. Yeah. You of all people, for sure.
I'm learning.
Anyway, Olivia Colman. Olivia Colman, I think, is just a wonderful actress. I'm very curious to see like what her role really is going to be in the show, because this is the first time that we've seen her, I believe, in the MCU. And I kind of wonder if she's kind of like on that same level as Julia Dreyfus's character, Valentina.
Yeah. Yeah. Allegra Fontaine, De Fontaine. There we go.
Whatever. I wonder if she's kind of like Val. Yeah. I wonder if she's kind of one of those type of agents or that kind of thing. I mean, she obviously has a history with Nick Fury based on how her men kidnapped him. The extraordinary men, as I think he right. put it, and how she was just like, oh, they were extraordinary, like how that's wonderful and whatever. And Nick Fury obviously knows that she has information. She doesn't want to divulge that information, and she's basically telling him like, listen, you've been out of the game for too long. Like, you're not as quick as you used to be. You're getting old. You're very detached from everything. And yeah, it was cool to see her. I'm very curious to see if she's whose side she actually really is, or she has, if there's a third party involved that we're not aware of as of yet. So I'm very curious.
Is she a Skrull?
Oh, or is she a Skrull? That's true.
I think that's going to be the question for a lot of these characters going through the season. But as far as Olivia Colman's character, she's a high ranking MI6 agent. So
yes,
that explains that. Frank, what are your thoughts on the cast for this show?
The cast is extraordinary. I love the cast. I think they did a great job of casting them. I mean, when I saw the cast, I was doing Disney XD a year ago. I was like, shit, I can't wait. Maybe we may get a few more surprise guests for this show. It's just as far as acting chops, it's on point. It's the placement of the stories where I have a question, which is crazy to me, only because Disney's bankroll was endless. And if they really wanted to, they could have added everybody named Mama in this shit. Like, I mean, in the original story, it's them off, you know, I think Charles Xavier, the Illuminati. So Charles Xavier, Black Bolt, Black Panther, like these heroes are being carbon copied and they're missing. And like the Skrull Queen, this is right after the Kree-Skrull War. The Skrull Queen, I can't remember, I think her name is Valanda or Verilic. But she pretty much attacks Earth, and like Spider-Woman goes missing, the first Captain America goes missing, and they're supplanted with these Skrulls, and that's the basis of the story. So you eradicate all these heroes, and like to me and for me, like you have the rights to these heroes, like they could, and Iron Man's a big pivotal piece to the story too, and like seeing Robert Downey in the Skrull. And a Skrull manifestation would have been dope, but to eradicate all these heroes and replace them with just everyday SHIELD agents is just not. I don't know, man. That's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, this story would have made sense 5 years earlier, like right before Thanos. It would have made a lot more sense for the placement of the story. So, thank you, Vranky. Thank you so much, Texas Parthead. Vranky, that's her name.
And Trisha's coming in clutch. Like she knows all the things. And Christian also says, sorry, Frank, that Sonya, Olivia Colman's character was created for the series. So she's not in the comics. So continue, please.
Yeah. So, I mean, Vranky is the main culprit of this uprising. So to not have her in this is kind of like, and I guess to place her for this Gravik character, You're putting a lot of squirrel holes around pegs. I don't know if long term is going to be the fit. So we'll see.
I mean, given the background information about the reason this guy broke off from the Skrulls is because of Nick Fury's departure from Saber, having promised the Skrulls that he was going to find them a new place to live, right? Because their planet had been obliterated at some point. This is just on me. I don't remember everything. If y'all do, Frank, I know you do. Please, you know, correct me, give me the info. But that was just more or less the quick background about this new big bad is he took it to heart when Nick Fury left, and then therefore gathered some followers who all feel some type of way, and now they're pretty determined about making Earth their world, right? And obliterating everyone else that inhabits it.
It's just, I don't, the reason is kind of weak to me, because Fury, he had disappeared in the blip. He was gone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Captain Marvel was gone. Like, yeah,
Captain Marvel was still around.
I'm sorry, you're right. No, but she was off world.
She was off world, yeah.
She was off world saving other planets and like doing the blip. So like, it's kind of like, what do you expect them to do? It's like the world, like the universe is in peril after what Thanos did. It's kind of like, we can't just uproot your people in the middle of a cataclysmic universal disaster. So,
right. I think even more so is that when he came back from the blip, everyone's like, you changed. You know, you just didn't have that same.
No fucking shit. I died.
No, I agree. I wholeheartedly
lost
agree.
5 years of your life. I mean,
right.
Kind of a big deal. Yeah.
And you also like on the heels of coming back, you also lost your Avengers team. So rightfully so, you would kind of change perspective of things and not be the same person as you were before. I mean, I get it. Like that's like grieving, you know, people grieve in many different ways. And it's just, yeah, it's defeating.
They come off as kind of graphic in this, I guess, Rebels come off as a little bit ungrateful because doing all of this, he did create Saber, this off this moon slash planet for the people in the meantime. And it's not some fucking third world planet or third world moon. Like it's high tech, it has everything there. Like, mm-hmm. like that's a nice little place to be until you find an actual home. And look, given Fury's tech and all of that, he's still an Earthling. So like, it's going to take time to find a world that's not inhabited by anybody else to put hundreds of thousands of squirrels on. Like, I don't know, man. Like his reason was kind of stupid to me. It really was.
I mean, I get it. Like, that's understandably so. And Christian had mentioned, you know, as an Asian, he was expected to handle it better. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that because it's kind of like Natasha Romanoff. I was having this discussion with John yesterday about how someone out there was talking about the different women in the MCU and how they're inconsistent. And it's like, well, but look at their circumstances. Take, for instance, Black Widow. She was raised to be an assassin and then was given the ceremony to basically be sterile. That way she couldn't care about something more important than a mission, right? And so, like, as an agent, yes, you're expected to handle things, you know, differently. But at the end of the day, I would imagine that being part of the blip and losing 5 years of your life and then coming back and like your whole team is just gone, yeah, you're probably gonna like feel some type of way. Just saying.
Yeah. So continuing with the cast. Brittany, you talked about how, you know, Emilia Clarke was a big reason why you wanted to watch the show, and Frank also. So her character is Gaia. She's Talos's daughter. And did y'all know that the character was previously portrayed in Captain Marvel as a child? So we have seen her character before. I did not remember that. I'm pretty sure Captain Marvel is the one and only MCU movie I've only seen one time. I saw it in the theaters, and I was one and done. So I don't remember.
I saw it twice.
I don't remember a ton about it, but
no.
But that was interesting that we have seen the character before. But then I'm like, so you're telling me she's like 35 now or something?
Wait. Was she in her Skrull form or was she in her like?
That's a good question. I don't
like,
know.
Like disguised.
Yeah.
Form.
So when Talos gets reunited with his wife and kids, they're in Skrull form.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like Justin, I only watched Captain Marvel the one time. I think that we all went and saw it. Did we all go see it? I don't even remember at this point.
Nah, I saw it separate.
Okay, then yeah.
I saw it twice.
Yeah. I was a one and done. I was not impressed with Brie Larson, but that's a separate pod for a separate day.
Yeah, no, anyway. I saw it separately. I was in a padded room and I was like, just had to like, because, you know, who knows what would happen. But,
oh, God.
Anyway. Yeah,
so here in the chat, Christian was saying that Gaia was the one that was playing the ping pong machine, and Trisha confirms that Gaia was in her scroll form. That is hard to say.
It is tough.
And she's about the same age as Monica Rambeau. So
okay,
Christian, okay. I know. I say things that are fighting words. It's, be gentle, okay? The face has gone through a lot recently.
So. I mentioned the surprise ending. Let's fast forward to it because this episode was very slow. I think this is a high quality show, but I wouldn't say it's the most exciting so far. So, but let's get to the end of the episode because this was actually a shocking moment and a good cliffhanger for next week. We see that, you know, Kravik and his group have these like dirty bombs and they're all over the place. And, you know, Nick Fury and Maria Hill and Talos are trying to figure out where they are, the locations. They discover that where they think these bombs are actually decoys. Gravik then blows up some stuff and then he, you know, shapeshifts into Fury and shoots Maria Hill, who I assume that's actually Maria Hill and not a Skrull. We see her bleed out as Fury and Talos take off because the other bombs are going off. So is Maria Hill, is Colby Smulders done with, after her MCU run, which began with Avengers?
Bro, I was like, gotta be a Skrull. And then when I saw the credits, special guest star Colby Smulders, I was like, oh, that bitch gone. Oh, she shit.
Gone. She gone. Yeah.
I am going to say this is not the last we're going to see of Maria Hill.
Like actual Maria Hill or the Skrull Maria Hill?
I don't know. I just don't think this is going to be the last we'll see of Maria Hill. I kind of want to lean to maybe this is a Skrull Maria Hill and the real one was elsewhere. Just because she previously had tailed Gaia. I don't know. Maybe they just kind of like had a hunch that maybe we need to keep one behind, like leave one of us behind and have a Skrull on our side to serve as a decoy. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I feel like at the very end, the Maria Hill that we saw die would have like transformed back into the Skrull form. Yeah. Like we saw with Agent Ross, the agent, quote unquote, Ross. And then the other, was there another one that we saw die and turn into, doesn't matter, but I don't know. I just don't think this is the last that we'll see of Maria Hill.
I mean, she was bleeding out, so I would assume it's actually the human version of Maria Hill, right? Yeah. It's got to be.
Yeah.
But is she actually dead? That's the question for next week, I guess. Or,
I mean, if she is this, she had a hell of a run. Yeah. She was there since the beginning. So
seriously, that's true.
It's Avengers, right? Yeah. Since 2012. So
yeah. Yeah.
Was she ever on that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show? I never watched that show.
She showed up a couple times. Okay. Yeah.
Was she on there before Avengers or like as it was kind of going?
No. Avengers is when they debuted her. And then she was off and on and like on Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But she was like, she was sparingly used in Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So here's a did you know for Colby Smulders, Joss Whedon, who directed Avengers and Age of Ultron. He was also around that time. He was working on a Wonder Woman movie, and he wanted to cast Colby Smulders as Wonder Woman. So it's very much a sliding doors moment, you know.
I can see it.
Yeah,
I can see it. She's a good actress.
So, So you know, some people in the chat think that she's a Skrull, and I guess that kind of gets me again to the big question. Let's kind of get to predictions for the rest of the season. Who do we think is a Skrull? I mean, we've seen. Obviously, Ross was a Skrull. Obviously, there is another Ross out there. Frank, do you have any insight on who you think might be a Skrull throughout this episode, this season?
This is so different from the comic book. So I'm pretty much just guessing at this point.
Yeah.
Some tells me a lot of the orders given by Fury won't be actually Fury. Okay. It will be Gravik playing Fury, and I can see S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. once again being dismantled. I mean, first it was Hydra, now it's possibly the Skrulls. But I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. did get dismantled in the comic books, and Norman Osborn took over. And I think S.H.I.E.L.D. got rebranded as Hammer, and Norman Osborn started the Dark Reign team with like Emma Frost and a couple other characters. So I can see S.H.I.E.L.D. being dismantled once again.
Okay. Yeah, Texas Potterhead, she got mine. She said the president's a Skrull. I think the president is absolutely a Skrull because, as we know, in Captain America Brave New World, which will be, I think it's coming in 2024, or maybe it's 2025 now. It got pushed.
Yeah.
Thaddeus Ross becomes the president, or is the president during that time. So unless there's some kind of election that we're going to, like some kind of succession-style election that we're going to see in between now and then, I would assume that this president is not a real person.
I just couldn't get over the fact that they got Dermot because the one movie that I remember seeing him in was My Best Friend's Wedding. Absolutely love him in that movie with Julia Roberts. And I'm just like, oh my God, yeah. He's president. Like, that's so funny. But yeah, I hadn't considered really who could be a Skrull because I was genuinely surprised that Emilia Clarke's character is a Skrull. Now, given the name Gaia, kind of seems appropriate because you have Talos and then you had Sorin who was her mother. So they have very interesting, unique names, which is cool. But I was like, oh, cool. Like they made her into a Skrull. We haven't seen her take her Skrull form yet. Right. But I wanted to ask you guys about her meeting with Talos when they were both skies. She gets picked up in a taxi and they go and actually talk after their first encounter, right? Where Talos is like, give me the bombs. And he tells her like, your mother's dead. I need someone to fill this in. When did that happen? Did we see that happen?
Off or screen.
Is that just, okay, that happened off screen. Okay. I feel like I'm missing something of Soren dying.
No, because last time we see Soren on screen is the it's Spider-Man No Way Home when it's unveiled that Fury and Maria Hill are not Fury and Maria Hill. It's Talos and Soren in the car. Okay. They unveiled
right,
it too.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's last time we see her. We've only seen her twice in Captain Marvel and that post-credit scene of Spider-Man No Way Home. Yeah,
okay.
Far from home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like I said, I was telling Justin off screen, I was like, I feel like I'm missing something. Like, I can't put my finger on it, but it's like, I feel like I'm missing information. And I thought to myself, maybe it was like, I feel like I've watched every single MCU show. I know I've seen every single movie. I know I've seen every single mid-credit and post-credit. I was just like, when did this happen? So it makes sense if it happened off screen and they're just kind of referencing it. So like Christian's saying here, like we will have a flashback for sure. So I wonder if that will be incorporated into the show. But given the fact that Talos saw his daughter for the very first time, he tells her, your mother's dead. She has like this moment where she, you know, cries about it. But when they meet up again and she's telling him about the plan and the bombs and, you know, the I'm going to use, what is it, the spray paint to like identify the backpacks. Did you actually think that she was actually changing sides or just definitely misleading her dad?
I thought for a moment she was showing solidarity after her mother passed to like show good faith towards her dad.
Because the dad did say she was killed by the people you work for.
Exactly. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see her if she still has loyalty for Gravik and his people, or if she's going to switch sides. Because in the previews before that we watched, it looked like she was fighting alongside Fury in the preview. So I think she probably flips once she finds out her mother's passed and the reason.
Justin, what do you think?
You know, I don't know. Like this show just didn't really get me. You know, I didn't get the show or something. I mean, it's I liked the ending of the episode. I thought that was really entertaining. I liked the surprise of killing off a longtime character, or the idea of it. The actual in between with the show, I don't know. I think this is a show where usually I'm a bigger fan of, you know, one episode per week. But I think with this one, we needed a couple episodes to start off with. I know like critics watched, they got the first two to watch. And I think we needed a couple to kind of, you know, kind of get our, or at least for me, to get my footing on the story and really get invested, because that didn't happen for me in the first episode. So
fair enough. In the chat, Christian's saying that he thinks Gaia was misleading her dad. And Trisha, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what she's saying is that she didn't think that Gaia was actually Gaia when she met up with Talos.
But I think Talos would have sensed that.
Well, but she did mention at some point with the newcomer that she greeted at the gate, that was a Skrull, that they have their field agents that have become so good at hiding who they really are that even amongst their own people, they can't tell who's a Skrull and who's a human.
But Guy is also like a teenager, she's in her 30s. Talos has been around for 135 years. I would think with the veteran leadership, that the veteran feel that Talos has, I think he mentioned his age, like he's like 130 years old.
Right. And he's like, I'm not even 40 in human years. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you're well above that. We can see it. Don't play games. Don't.
But Talos has that. He seems like he has that veteran presence of like, when somebody's trying to dupe him because he's been around for so long.
Maybe, I don't know. Christian's saying if you stay in human form, you can trick people. And maybe so.
In the comic books, yes. I don't know if that's the same for the TV show, though. Because the TV show adaptation is vastly different from the comic books.
I don't know. It would be interesting if we learned that it was someone else who was disguising themselves to be Gaia. Maybe it was Gravik who met Talos, you know, just like Gravik disguised himself into the multiple people to have Fury follow him and then ultimately turn into Fury to shoot Maria Hill. Who knows? It would be kind of interesting. Christian does make a good point. I mean, Talos couldn't find his own family. I don't trust his judgment. Okay, fair enough. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone here, don't know enough about the Skrulls and how they operate and things like that. So I'm just literally absorbing whatever it is that we're being given in these shows and movies. So I'm hoping that this show will turn into something a little bit more interesting and entertaining, like Andor eventually did. But for what we got for this premiere, the shock value was at the very end with the shooting of Maria Hill for me. I was like, oh shit. Like I was not expecting that at all.
They're going to have to introduce more characters. It's just the cast, you know, it's a great acting cast. Like just sheer numbers, quantity wise, for the protagonist purposes, it's not going to be enough. You're not finna beat the Skrulls with just Nick Fury, a few S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and Talos. That's not going to be enough. I hope that they, even when Rhodey comes into the fray, that's not going to be enough to overtake a world invasion of aliens. It's ridiculous to like set that premise without actual superheroes in this show. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, how are you gonna pass this on as like a prominent storyline with like not any major superheroes?
And I don't think we're gonna get any of them though. I don't even know who they would even have if they did have an Avenger, besides obviously Rhodey, who I don't think he's even really an Avenger anymore at this point in the story. I think he's back to being a government guy. He works for the military.
Cause just off the cuff, like you have in the comic book version, you had Black Bolt, you had Professor X, you had Spider Woman, you had Doctor Strange, you had Iron Man, you had Captain America, you had Thor, Daredevil. Like, these are like star-studded A-list Marvel superhero characters, and none of them gonna be in this motherfucker. Like, how you gonna pass this on? How you gonna like do the story?
I mean, could you arguably say that Captain Marvel could make an appearance?
That's probably the most likely, right?
It could be a leak into to the Marvels.
Yeah,
which I don't give a fuck about that shit.
That is the next movie, though. The Marvels.
It is the next movie, so it would set it up kind of nicely.
But like, that's just not. I guess, bro. it's not enough, bro. Like, you need more heroes. Like,
yeah,
it's about to be hundreds of thousands of Skrulls taking over this planet. Like, it's not going to be enough. Like. Yeah.
I mean, this is set in present day MCU. So, I mean, like, obviously, Sam Wilson, Captain America could be an option. Obviously, Rhodey was in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else. Maybe Hulk is available. He was in She-Hulk. Although, he's
off world too.
Yeah, he's gone. That's right. Yeah.
He's in Qatar. He just came back. No, he came back with his son. That's right.
Oh, at the very end. That's right.
Yeah, in the very end. Yeah.
Yeah, Scar. Then there's people like Shang-Chi. Does Nick Fury even owe Shang-Chi? You know, like,
why are you calling him Nick Fury? Good Lord.
Nick Fury.
He might have a file on Shang-Chi. He hasn't met him yet.
That's true.
Yeah. He's been on Saber. He just got back from Saber, like, in this episode. So he's been gone.
So Christian says maybe Nick isn't Nick, and he's a Skrull as well. But the whole knee thing hurting him must be a lie to confuse if anyone saw him and they think he's too old. I mean, it's possible.
He is old.
Well, I mean, yeah, he is old, but who knows? I mean, what's real? What isn't at this point?
I mean, like I said, the thing is like that Kravik turns into Fury before he shoots Maria Hill. And then obviously Fury sees the Skrull version of Fury shoot Maria Hill, and Maria Hill sees that. I feel like obviously the Fury that sees it happen is obviously our Fury, because you can't like have like 10 Furies who are
sure you Skrulls. Can because we see like 10 graphics at one point.
Yeah, but to me then you kind of cheapen it, right? Like the gimmick that they can shapeshift into anything is cool.
Yeah,
but if they shapeshift into the same thing, that's kind of lame. It's my opinion.
I don't know. Frank Christian has a question for you. Do you want more Marvel projects or less, because he's a little confused on where you stand?
I want more quality storyline with characters that fit the story that you're trying to portray. That's what I want. I hope that answers your question.
Like, yeah, Frank is our resident comic book aficionado, and he feels very strongly about certain storylines.
Yeah, if you're gonna do a storyline, be well equipped with all, with the necessary heroes that you're gonna need for this story. So, telling a story of this magnitude with just Fury taking on these people is just not gonna be enough. It's not believable. Like in every single like attack on Earth, he's always called the Avengers every single time, every single time. And then like with the world at peril, he's like, I'll figure it out.
I got this one.
Yeah, this, I got this one. This is a fuck you to the Eternals because y'all didn't do shit.
Right.
I'm just saying. I mean, we're not going to talk about that giant thing in the ocean. Like, no one has addressed that in any other MCU product, but that's
shit
fine.
Is wild, fam.
Do y'all have any final thoughts on Secret Invasion?
I mean, I will continue to watch. And just for those of y'all who are joining us and watching the replay later, just know that we are only going to be covering the series premiere, which is, of course, this pod, and the wrap-up of Secret Invasion due to the fact that many of us are going on vacation and we will unfortunately not be available to do week-to-week episode reviews. So just for your FYI.
So I guess that does it for our Secret Invasion list. So we'll be back again to talk about the finale and wrap up the season in late July once we get that episode. But, you know, let's move over to the Sony universe, the Sony version of Marvel. The Sony Spider-Man universe that still doesn't have a Spider-Man. This week, they dropped the Kraven the Hunter trailer, and I want to get everybody's reaction to it. Kraven the Hunter stars Aaron Taylor-Johnson. He's Kraven. Ariana DeBoe and Russell Crowe, those are the main stars of the movie. Frank, I want to go to you first. What did you think about the R-rated movie, Kraven the Hunter, which comes out October 6th? What did you think about the trailer?
Yeah, so when Sony did their rollout of like the Spideyverse, I was very concerned because there was no mention of a Spider-Man in the Spideyverse. But like, I will say this. If you go and do a Kraven, I said this 2 years ago. If you go and do a Kraven, it has to be rated R. He's too primal of a character to do PG or rated G. Like, you have to make him rated R. Fam, when I saw that trailer, bro, that shit looked like Tarzan. Game of Thrones had a baby. That shit was animalistic.
Whoa!
It was primal. That dude was savage, literally savage. And like, Aaron Taylor Johnson. like the fact that he got so like he looks like he got beefed up and he looks like
yes
him,
he
and, like,
does
and when they show
animalistic beam rare sorry
and when they showed him in the actual Kraven suit towards the end of the trailer, I'm like, Sony may have something. It just So with Sony, my only question with Sony is that now you're making all these characters. Is it just me or did it all look like the protagonist?
Well, that's the thing, is much like Venom and much like Morbius, they're kind of doing this like we're introducing these Spider-Man villains, but we're telling like an anti-hero story. And it's an origin story for the characters. And I assume that like, yes, if you watch the trailer, you know, Kraven is the hero of the movie, like Morbius, like Venom were, but then eventually they're going to be the Sinister Six or whatever. And whenever they finally have a Spider-Man to face off with, they'll be the villains.
Well, it's going to be tough to like turn, like how it's so in wrestling, right? When you have a heel turn, it's a lot of times it's unexpected. It's out of left field. And it's normally a central wrestler or a central character.
Yeah.
If you're going to have this universe of all these central heroes or central villains or whatever, and they turn villains all at the same time, that's gonna be kind of weird. It's gonna be a lot to turn all these guys into like unless like one central event happens to where Spider-Man's evolved and all like hate Spider-Man. Okay, I guess you can pull it, but to have five or six guys that you're gonna introduce in the Sony universe,
yeah,
come up as anti-hero protagonists and then like make them villains towards when Spider-Man shows up, if he does show up in this universe, it's, I don't know, it's going to be hard, but for the movie itself, for the trailer itself, it looks great. But again, we said the same thing about Morbius when it came out, that the trailer for Morbius looked great too. So, we'll see, but in a 3 minute stretch that I saw, it looks good.
Yeah, I think it looks entertaining. I know a lot of people are saying like, oh, this looks like they made Morbius 2, and that may be the case, but I'm going to give it a chance. I don't know. It looks entertaining to me. I mean, I don't think that's how Kraven gets his powers, is from a bleeding, the blood of a lion or whatever, but it's a cool idea. Like, I don't mind it, you know, like,
is it though?
I mean, Spider-Man gets his power from a radioactive spider that bites him. I mean, like,
but that makes more sense. Like, you know, you're more likely to be bitten by a spider. Not saying you're a radioactive spider and you're going to get superpowers, but like, you're probably just going to get really sick and die. But I mean, Justin, you were hearing my reaction when I was watching the trailer before we jumped on here. And I was just like, wait a minute. Like, wait a minute. A drop of lion's blood goes into an open wound, and that's how this dude acquires his powers. Okay. I'm going to be 100% honest. I, of course, don't know anything about anything. Comic book, characters, whatever. I own it. That was really dumb to me for some strange reason. Not really. It just seems really silly, just really far-fetched. However, I have to address the fact that we still have two MCU characters that are also characters still in the Marvel, you know, Marvel world, but with Sony, and that's Russell Crowe and Aaron Taylor Johnson. Of course, you know, Russell Crowe was Zeus in Love and Thunder, and Aaron Taylor Johnson was Pietro Maximoff in Avengers Age of Ultron, which is cool. We're keeping it all in the family. Like, love it. I think Vin Diesel would be happy about that. But with that being said, watching this trailer and seeing, okay, I'm going to set aside the fact that dude has a lion blood drop in his system. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I do get the whole how it can easily remind you about Morbius, and it took me a really long time to finally watch Morbius, but when I did, I didn't hate it.
Yeah,
like it had potential. Like, it didn't wow me like all these other MCU stuff. So I'm not quite sure what the problem is when it comes to Marvel and Sony outside of, let's say, Spider-Man, because I think they have it right with Spider-Man. And that's coming from a non-Spider-Man fan, but I'll give credit where credit's due. But I didn't hate Morbius. I didn't hate Venom. I actually haven't seen the second one still. So I'm going to give this a chance. Like, for sure, I'm going to give this a chance. Maybe this one will kind of be, like, the best out of the Venom and Morbius sort of, you know, installments that we've gotten, you know, because I won't like compare it to Spider-Man, because I think the Tom Holland Spider-Mans are just really, really well done. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a chance. He looks great. He looks good.
I feel like sometimes Sony writers don't read like comic books.
No, that's why they're on strike.
Yeah, because like Kraven got his powers like through like herbal potions that had like entities in it, like that derived from like different animal DNA and things of that nature. Like, first off, if you get mauled by a lion the way that he did in that trailer, you're not gonna be in one piece, bro. You're gonna be about five or six different pieces, if not devoured. That's for one. And to say that blood got in his bloodstream, his bloodstream, bro, just like like sometimes these superhero movies write themselves if you just use the comic books as a blueprint. You know, that shit made no sense to me at all.
I also don't know how the origin of what you just said about the herbs and like a potion. I mean, okay, I guess potion, sure. I follow Harry Potter very closely, so I'll accept it. That's fine.
Yeah, and like he has to drink it constantly in the comic books, like to maintain the strength, the super speed and agility and all that kind of stuff.
It's kind of like Morbius having to consume whatever it is, the human blood or
yeah,
whatever.
Plasma.
The plasma, yeah, to continue having the powers. Okay, I get it.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, but in the comic books, man, like, Kraven is dope. Like, he's so powerful. Like, I think, was it issue? It might have been Spectacular Spider-Man issue 50. I can't remember. But, like, Spider-Man talks to Black Cat. He's like, I had to not pull back my punches, because normally when Spider-Man fights and punches, he pulls back because he's so strong. Ooh. Like Spider-Man can lift like 8 tons. He had to, like, he said to defeat Kraven, he had to like throw the hardest punch he could possibly throw that could rival, you know, knocking out, you know, the Hulk. Like that's how he had to slow down Kraven. So like he's not somebody to be fucked with. Like, he's a very powerful character at peak power. So
yeah. So Frank, before you jumped on here, Justin and I were talking how I saw somewhere about, I think it was fan casting. What would DC actors who are known superheroes in the DC world look like with the MCU? And one of the fan casting suggested Jason Momoa as Kraven.
Oh, that'd be spot on.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, Justin said the exact same thing. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. If that were to ever happen, of course. Yeah. I mean, I only know of one actor off the top of my head that I've seen both in MCU and DC, and that's Willem Dafoe. He was
Ryan Reynolds too.
That's true. But with Willem Dafoe, he was in Green Goblin, of course, in Spider-Man, and then also he was in Aquaman. He was a character in Aquaman. So I was like, that'd be cool. Like if Jason Momoa, like, of course, pre-production, had him come over to be Kraven the Hunter, because I did see like a side by side with the comic, and I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. Like that is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'm all for it.
Yeah, that'll be dope. That would be
give me Khal Drogo all day.
Speaking of DC tie-ins, you got Russell Crowe, who played Superman's dad in Man of Steel, played Thor's dad in Love and Thunder. Now he's playing Kraven's dad.
No, he's not Thor's dad.
Oh, sorry. He plays Zeus. Hercules' dad. Hercules.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So
I was like, how dare you besmirch the name of Anthony Hopkins? Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah, that was my bad, definitely. The movie's directed by J.C. Chandor, who did a movie for Netflix called Triple Frontier. It's a pretty good movie. It's an action movie with Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac. So,
oh, yeah.
I saw
Netflix a while back.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent movie. So I have high hopes for this movie. And, you know, also I'm just like, I'm kind of tired of people being so negative about superhero stuff. So I'm going to give this movie a chance. People have been really beating up on The Flash this week, and I don't think enough people have seen The Flash. It's a great movie. Like, it's easily the best DCEU movie by far.
I concur.
And Brittany saw it. She liked it. She's not a DC fan. So
yeah.
People have just gotten so critical of these movies, and it's like, okay, what else out there is so great that I'm missing on? Because I don't feel like I'm missing a whole lot.
I think in terms of The Flash, and of course we talk about it more with our pod. So if you haven't checked out our review of The Flash and don't mind spoilers, please head over there, check it out. You know, let us know what you think about the movie and just our overall thoughts about it. I think a lot of it just has to do with either superhero fatigue. People were very critical about Ezra Miller and the shenanigans that went on last year within their personal life and such. And just, I think the overall direction DC is headed and it just being very disjointed, but I will concur with Justin. The Flash is extremely well done. Well done. It's not perfect.
I mean, I guess it doesn't,
well done.
It doesn't fit well with the DCEU because it's actually an entertaining movie. Like the other ones, I mean, the rewatchability of DCU movies is like zero. They're just not really good.
Except
movies.
Wonder Woman. I will rewatch Wonder Woman.
Okay, Wonder Woman. But all the rest of them, like The Flash, like despite all the time travel and multiversal stuff, there's no dumb moments. Like no one's getting killed. No one's committing suicide via tornado. No one's like screaming Martha and like, you know,
save Martha.
Deciding not to kill Superman because your mom has the same mom as him, same name as your mom. I mean, it's just. It's honestly like, I don't get why The Flash isn't like a bigger hit or like it's
like I said, it's a combination.
It's like Spider-Man No Way Home, but it's, I mean, obviously Spider-Man No Way Home is better because it's
way
has Marvel, but like, it's a pretty good story. Michael Keaton is Batman. Like, I don't like,
hell yeah,
it's really good. People should go see it. I feel like people are actually going to see it. Cause it's like, he was, and also the end of the movie is an incredible, like, I mean, what a great way to end the movie.
They wrapped it up very well. It was a very well done story.
It has kind of a funny ending, but it's like, wow, they pulled that off. Like this has been like 20-something years in the making. Like, it's really well done. Yeah, I'm just super bummed out that that movie isn't a bigger deal. So, anyway, y'all got any final thoughts about the world of superheroes or what's coming up next?
Well, Trisha says, I think that Marvel has this really high bar that we have come to expect everything else to follow suit, especially with comic book or superhero movies.
Like continuity? It's a high bar?
No, but I mean, even the Marvel movies are getting crap. I mean, Quantumania, like, everybody hated that movie. It's
Quantumania wasn't that bad. I mean,
I didn't think it was that bad either, but that movie got shit on.
But Marvel had like a 10-year run of like just quality, though. Like, DC can't really stand on that. They don't have...
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the thing about The Flash is The Flash, despite being, you know, coming from a terrible, poorly constructed universe, they actually made a good movie. Like, they made an entertaining movie out of, like, crap. Like, it literally is making chicken salad out of chicken shit. Flat out. That's what it is. Yeah.
Well, and then obviously the difference is that DC, with these individual superhero movies, however many there may be, because Ben Affleck certainly didn't get one as Batman, they don't ultimately add up to like a team up movie, which is what Marvel obviously has done extremely well with all of their independent movies and in their team up movies. Like it all fits, you know. It may take a little while to get to the ultimate point, but that's what they've done extremely, extremely well. And maybe with storytelling. And maybe who knows, Justin and I are kind of the belief that with DC, this multiverse is going to be like the kickoff to a reboot. And that's why we're getting, you know, maybe new actors to be these superheroes. And they're just going to like completely start fresh and what have you. Maybe with James Gunn at the helm, maybe he'll take that MCU approach and be like, hey, we got to tell a story across the board that makes sense.
The truth is like DC is not even the second best superhero universe in film. You know what the second best superhero universe is? The Fast
Harry
and the
Potter.
Furious. No, the Fast and the Furious. Fast and the Furious. They make better superhero movies than DC does. DC Comics. They just do.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious has 11 movies, counting Hobbs and Shaw. If you take those 11 movies and stack them up against the 13 or 14, because the DCU can't even figure out if they have 13 or 14, because there's two versions of Justice League. And there's two movies, one movie called The Suicide Squad, one just called Suicide Squad. You take those movies against each other, like movie for movie, The Fast and Furious is way better than the DCU. And it's not even fucking close. No, it's not.
You got Tristan Rowland in this chat, bro.
Trish is like, you're fired. You're fired. Like, you're fired.
I mean, Fast Five, I mean.
Oh, man.
I mean, 100 Justin, times better than Batman.
Justin's all about family. Like, that's what it is. Yeah, he's all about family. So about family, but you know, didn't bat an eye when the Toretto brother was like totally left out.
You forget about people sometimes. It's okay. He's got a lot. There's a lot going on for that guy, you know, like,
yeah,
you have to walk a mile in his shoes before you can criticize that guy.
No, it's a quarter mile at a time.
Yeah, he takes it a quarter mile at a time.
That's exactly right. That's too funny.
So anyway, y'all have any final thoughts on anything?
Nah.
These next, I don't know, man. These next couple of years are gonna be very huge for Marvel. I think, and I've said this before, when you lose a Scarlett Johansson, a Chris Evans, a Robert Downey, a Chadwick Boseman, you lose a lot of star power. It's gonna take a lot to fill that void with new characters and new actors and actresses. I'm really interested to see how they're going to, what building blocks they're going to use for the next 2 to 3 years with these movies. And, you know, I'm in the minority. I think the Marvel movies have been fine post Thanos. Like, I think Shang-Chi was good. I think a lot of the other movies, I think Carmen, I didn't think Carmen was that bad. I thought it was fine. The Spider-Man movies. It's just going to take time, man, to like really gain momentum again. Because when you lose four or five actors, central actors and characters from different stories within the MCU, it's just going to take time, you know. So Marvel community, just be patient. You know, Kevin Feige's done a great job. You know, these guys have done a great job this last decade plus. So, you know, wait for new characters to come out, new heroes to come out, and in the casting. I never had issues with the casting. You know, once they...
Except Brie Larson.
Yeah, except for Brie Larson. That, she can go back to wherever she came from. But but I think once they get these characters in order and get these... And the writers guild strike is going on. I think that's put a halt to a lot of these movies as well. I think once all that gets figured out and they get back to casting and shooting these movies, you know, we got some nuggets that's coming up. We got Deadpool that's coming out in the next couple of years. You got
next year.
I'm sorry,
they moved it up. Yeah,
it got moved up by 6 months.
Oh, great. Well, even better. You know, so
I've got concerns about that though.
With Deadpool.
Just it being moved up. I mean, I know the script was done, but mm-hmm. you know, you got to give Ryan Reynolds the opportunity to improv. And if he can't because of the writer's strike, you know, are they going to rush it and then it not be quality? I mean, mm-hmm. this is Deadpool 3 and you're bringing Hugh Jackman in as Wolverine. Like,
yeah,
I've got a lot riding on this and man, I just hope it's not being rushed and it's just not going to be quality. That's my concern. Yeah. Deadpool 3.
I think Feige and company, I don't think they would rush that movie if it wasn't ready. Because from what I've read, most of the writing's already been done. You know, Ryan does a great job of improvising his lines or adding to his lines.
He can't do it while they're in production.
Because they got to go by the script and if there wasn't a strike, they could change the script. Like they can write the script as they're going along if they want to. I mean, obviously that's not the way to do movies.
But who says the strike lasts that goes into next year though?
Well, I mean,
we don't know.
Like they're filming the movie like right now.
Yeah.
Right. So it's during the strike. So
now they did say, however, that in post-production he can improv all that he wants, but you have to kind of consider him being in the suit, gestures, body language, like, is it going to match?
Yeah.
You know, is he going to have that liberty of improvising as freely if it's not going to match whatever, you know, he's doing as they're filming? That's mm-hmm. that's the concern. But I don't know. I mean, like Frank said, you know, basically in Kevin Feige, we trust. Yeah. And I'm hoping for the best with Deadpool, but I know a lot of movies have been delayed, you know, about a year longer than what was first anticipated because other things are obviously happening with like actors and storylines and what have you. But we've said it here many times on this pod that this phase is really a rebuilding phase and introducing new characters and for the audience to care about these characters and be invested in them because ultimately everything is going to lead up to a team up that's going to make sense.
Yeah.
Right. The TV shows, the movies, like I know a lot of people, you know, felt some type of way with the amount of shows that Disney Plus was putting out, you know, with the MCU, understandably so. Yeah. You get a little bit fatigued, but you got to watch all that stuff for it to ultimately make sense in the very end.
Yeah. And as far as the rest of the year, we've got Loki season 2 comes out October 6th, I believe.
I'm so excited.
Which is the same day as Kraven the Hunter when it hits theaters. Oh. And then we have the Echo series. It's going to drop all at once on November 29th, which...
That's not good.
That's not a good sign, no. That means
that tells me that they yeah, that tells me they finished it. They put in post. Yeah, fuck this shit. Let's just throw all out there.
Aww. Yeah.
You know, she was here in Houston for Comic Palooza.
Yeah.
The actress that plays... I can't think of her name. I don't want to call her Echo, but anyway.
Yeah. The thing is with that, it's like, that's one of those characters where like, I'm not sure if you needed a series for this character, you know, that maybe that could have been like a hour long special, much like Werewolf by Night or the Guardians Holiday Special, something like that. You could have maybe instead of making it like a 6 or 8 episode mini series. I'm not sure.
But is it going to be done like Secret Invasion is? It's just a limited...
I'm not sure, but I mean, they're dropping it all one day, so that'll...
Yeah, I mean, it might be a one-off. They just decided to do it as a miniseries. I mean, that's kind of like what Hawkeye was, I think. Wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was 6 episodes, but it was...
It
was a week...
Yeah, it was episodic.
It was a weekly...
No, schedule. I know, but what I'm saying, a limited run, though.
It's only six.
They're going to come back with the season two or anything like that. That's
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it's going to be limited.
Yeah.
And the character will probably appear in the Daredevil
series.
Daredevil! I'm so excited.
So.
Show me some Charlie Cox.
And, you know, you're talking about, you mentioned the Houston Comic-Con deal. Well, San Diego Comic-Con is literally a month from now, and Marvel announced this week they're not even going to be there. So, you know, there are a lot of people who are thinking they're announced, they're going to finally announce the final forecast, the Fantastic Forecast, and that's not going to happen. So,
imagine buying your tickets a year in advance and finding that Marvel's not going to be there.
Damn.
And honestly, like, I don't know the DC's going to be there because after the Flash bombed, I mean, they still have Blue Beetle coming out in August. They have Aquaman coming out in December. We still haven't seen a trailer for Aquaman yet. So maybe they'll drop the trailer for that, for Aquaman 2.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk that maybe they would announce the Superman casting at Comic-Con or the 2025 movie, but I don't know.
So Trisha asked if any of us went to the Houston Comic-Con. No. We did not, which I really wish now we did, because there were so many people there that I would have loved to have, you know, just even gotten an autograph from, and like the boys, Anthony Starr, Jack Quaid, Aaron Moriarty, were all there. I think they did a special session. I need you to chill out, Frank. I need you to chill out.
That's a blonde I can get behind. Sorry.
In other places, but like Tinashe Huerta was there. Like I said, the actress who plays Maya in Echo, she was there. I mean, they had a lot of like really up and coming, you know, super relevant people there. So it would have been a great opportunity to go. I know it was Memorial Day weekend here when that happened, but tickets were just expensive. It is very expensive.
Yeah, we've been before. We went as a group in like 2019 or 18.
And that's cool. when we met Emilia Clarke and Natalie Emanuel, Game of Thrones people. Yep, it was cool. We got pictures.
I mean, Natalie Emanuel's the Fast Family. That's what I think of her as. So So we got a question from Trisha for Frank. How excited are you for Blue Beetle? What are your thoughts?
I'm very excited. Like Titans, People laugh when I say this, but I'm so serious. Titans is my favorite team group in DC, more than Justice League, because of the storyline of Nightwing and how that team was constructed, and they're a very powerful team. And Blue Beetle, I mean, that suit is, I mean, he's dope as fuck. So like I'm actually excited to see that in the DC adaptation. I kind of wish he was in the Titans TV show, but it's okay. I mean, hopefully this character is done right, because Titans is one of the few shows, or one of the few DC properties I'm not embarrassed to say that I love at a DC, and it was very gringy, very dark. To see Blue Beetle, hopefully, and I love the cast. It's very Latino driven. So
mi gente.
Yes, I can't wait. You know, George Lopez is going to be in it too. So I love George Lopez.
Oh my God.
So I'm very, very excited to see this adaptation on screen and see. I mean, I don't know where it lands in DCEU. I don't really care. I just want to watch that movie. It doesn't.
I can tell you. So James Gunn said that, okay, so the movie, Blue Beetle the movie, is a DCEU movie. Get this? Okay. But Blue Beetle the character is the first official character of the DCU. So what he's saying is, we like the actor who's Zolo Mardwania from Cobra Kai. He plays Jaime Reyes in the Blue Beetle movie. They're basically what James Gunn's saying. We like the character. We like the actor. We're going to keep him in the DCU. We don't like the movie. That's basically what he's saying. I mean, that's code for virtually. Like the movie virtually is not good, but we like the actor and the character. We're going to carry him over to the DCU. So.
So the movie was branded as a DCU movie. It's not a DCEU movie.
It's a DCEU movie. And originally when it was in production, it was going to be an HBO Max streaming movie. But then they upped the budget and decided, no, we're going to go to the theaters with this one. So the quality of it's probably kind of in question, much like what happened to Batgirl, which was canceled.
Stupid.
This movie's going to come out. It comes out August 18th. But so what James Gunn's saying is, like, we like the character, we like the actor, we just don't think the movie is quality. So, like, you're going to see him again in this new DCU. And apparently this movie, there's not really anything about the DCEU in the movie, except for, because it's just a story. It's a self-contained story about how Jaime gets the suit, or gets the scarab, or whatever it's called, that gives him the powers.
I didn't even know it was a scarab.
Yeah, but it's like it's a scarab that turns into it's a cool looking, it's almost like an Iron Man kind of looking suit.
Got like little tent, like, yeah, arms. Yeah.
So kind of thing. He will, that character will continue in the DCU.
Justin, how do you have the ability to like eradicate 9 months of excitement within 90 seconds, bro?
It's a gift.
I think it's exciting that he's going to continue.
He also burst Trish's bubble, so you're not the only one, Frank.
No, that's good news, because go ahead.
Excited for the movie, but you're basically saying that it's not going to be a movie worth watching because James Gunn said that it's in the DCEU.
Well, I'm only just saying, go ahead.
Only DC can do this. They can exactly. be so excited for a character, but shit on the movie that the character is in. But say, we're going to keep the character, though. Yeah. But fuck the movie. The movie's not good. Yeah. What the fuck? Like, even if that's the truth, don't say it out loud.
That's kind of like what they're doing with Amber Heard and Aquaman. Anyway.
No, but I mean, she's not going to be carrying over to the... I don't think so. Because I don't know that anybody... I mean, okay. So here are the people that are going to be carrying over to the from the DCEU to the DCU.
Okay.
Amanda Waller. She's continuing because she has her own series played
Viola Davis. Okay. Yeah.
Peacemaker, John Cena's character, is continuing over. Rightfully so. Peacemaker, I think Peacemaker and The Flash are the best two things from the DCEU by far, no question. Like, if you've watched either one of them, you're like, oh, that's actually good. Oh, you have a Peacemaker. That's cool.
It's actually yours. I just haven't seen you to give it to you.
That's cool.
So I didn't know if you had one or not, but.
So Peacemaker, that's very cool. So Peacemaker is continuing. Aquaman, maybe? It's not official yet.
Although there's been rumors that maybe Jason Momoa will continue, but as a completely different character, and they're talked about Lobo.
Yeah.
Which I know nothing about. See,
that's so fucking stupid, because even though I'm not a big Aquaman fan. Even though I'm not a big Aquaman fan, the movie made $1 billion. Like, Asia's going to back that movie because of his heritage. Like, why would you wreck that and not make a trilogy or however more movies with Jason Momoa playing Aquaman? Because whether or not we want to, it hit. It came out Christmas Day back in 2018, and they loved it. Like, it killed in Asia. It killed in all the Asian territories. So why would you take that away? I don't understand.
And you know what? There's a chance. Stupid. There's a chance that if the sequel does well,
it's going to do well.
He might. I don't know anymore. I honestly don't know because I'm serious. Like, you look at movies nowadays, they're not doing what they used to do.
Yeah.
I mean, The Flash was like way under what people projected. Like, the Elemental, which is a Pixar movie over the weekend, came out the same weekend. A lot of people say it's a really good movie. It tanked also at the box office. Mm. The Fast franchise has kind of sputtered the last couple movies.
There's just too many of those. No, good Lord.
The Fast made was $600 million?
Yeah, but I mean, the movie costs $300 million to make, though. Like those are expensive movies. Like, they have to make double and sometimes triple the budget to make money.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Blue Beetle. It might actually do well because it's a cheaper made movie. If it can get, $200 million worldwide, total, that'd be probably a big win for that movie.
So I saw the trailer for Blue Beetle for the very first time when
you saw the Flash.
During the previews for The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the fact that it's a Hispanic family. It's cool to have a little bit more representation in superhero movies at this point and what have you. But at the same time, I'm just like, okay, it kind of looks cool. Or, I mean, the suit does look cool. Like Justin mentioned, it kind of gives you Iron Man sort of vibes. I just don't know if it's worth seeing personally.
Mm.
that's just kind of my take on it. I'm kind of like kind of taking the approach of like Morbius. It's like Morbius looked cool, like in the previews, what have you, but it wasn't enough for me to actually go and see it in the movies or at theaters. Save money. Yeah. Like I barely watched Morbius, like, I don't know, within the last 6 months or so. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. But you know, I'm fine not seeing it. But also knowing that the movie is kind of being considered not great, but well, the character is going to continue in the new, you know, DCU. Cool. Like, that's awesome, but it's going to get a solid meh from me.
Well, the thing is, what James Gunn has said is that they're going to really take their time with the DCU, and like these movies are going to be well thought out, well constructed. And if they only make one movie a year, they only make one movie a year. Now, okay. I mean, Grant, no, I mean, like, talk about superhero fatigue. His last movie, Guardians 3, did very well. It's like 800 million plus and still going. So, I mean, I think, you know, if you look at the movies and shows he's produced in the superhero genre, he hits every time. So I have faith that he'll be able to figure out DC. But what he's saying is, like, you know, the DCU, they're just turning out shit left and right, and they didn't even have any kind of plans or direction. And so we're going to take this casting and this character that we think is cool, and we're going to preserve him, and we're going to make him, you know, it's going to be better for this character going forward than this movie that you're going to probably see and not watch or not enjoy. So,
and I don't know. I mean, with James Gunn being more at the creative, or maybe not quite the creative helm of this DC, but you know,
he's the boss.
No,
he is the boss. I know, but
the DC.
Right. But Peter Safran, I think, also has like creative liberty.
Well,
like,
see, Peter Safran, it was James Gunn's manager. Peter Safran is like the money guy.
Okay.
James Gunn.
I had it reversed.
Yeah. James Gunn is the guy. Like, he's
the guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So my point,
I mean, he's directing the first movie. He's right. He wrote Superman Legacy. He's going to direct it. He's in charge.
So my point to it is that while I didn't care, I don't care for Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just not my jam. Those movies have done extremely well. Like, just extremely well. Maybe I'll be at the second one. The second one, stupid. But even Suicide Squad.
Yep.
His version of Suicide Squad, I actually didn't mind. You know, I it's not my favorite. But
Peacemaker.
So I haven't seen Peacemaker, so I can't speak on Peacemaker. But from what y'all have told me, it's extremely well done. So yeah, I mean, I think with him at the helm, the DCU has better potential of just being maybe a little bit more successful than it previous, you know,
existence. I guess my thing too, because like we've had like heralded directors and writers and creators like Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder and guys who came through DC, and it wasn't so much them, it was the people above them that fucked off everything for DC.
Yeah.
So that's my concern. I have no question that Gunn's going to do a great job. My question is WB, Warner Brothers, or whoever's running DC now, are they going to give Gunn the latitude to do what he needs to do to save this shitstorm? Because Zack Snyder didn't have latitude. Like, that's why that's one of the reasons why he left. They didn't give him the creative formula liberties. Liberties to do what he wanted to do. And then when the movie fucking bombed, they said, oh, you know what? Go ahead and finish your cut. Let's see how your cuts look. And it looked better. It was longer, but it was better. So that's my only question. It was good. It was just long, but it was it should have been a two-parter, in my opinion, but it was good. So like I don't
get behind that. Yeah.
I don't know if Warner Brothers has changed their ways, because they've had so much turnover, man, with management and producers and writers and just guys in power suits. They gonna give Gunn the liberties to do what he needs to do?
Yeah, I mean, they are. He's in charge. I mean, like, the only person above him is the owner of Warner Bros. Discovery. That's that David Zaslav guy. Okay. He's the CEO. So, I mean, could Gunn be fired? Of course he could be fired. But, I mean, he makes all the decisions. So, that movie, the Superman movie, which I don't believe is going to come out in 2025 because of all the strikes and everything, that would be fine. Push it back. Like, honestly, like, right now with DC, the only things they do well are Batman and the Joker. You've got a Joker sequel coming out next year, next October, which that'll probably do pretty well. The first Joker is the most successful financial movie ever made, because it was like made for like $40 million. It made over $1 billion at the box office.
Such a good movie. So, that's a movie in DC that's worth rewatching.
But like, see, that's the thing with DC is their best stuff is these Elseworld tales.
These offshoots.
The Batman and, you know, and Joker. And then now you're going to have Joker 2.
The Penguin is supposed to have its series on
from the Batman universe. Yeah.
On, is it Max or is it HBO?
I think it's Max.
Yeah. So there's good stuff, but again, like the connected stuff is not connected, but I do have faith that James Gunn, since it'll be his call, his version of everything. And if it fails, it'll be his fault.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is, he hasn't really failed with superheroes, and he's been working with the smaller names, Peacemaker and the Guardians, the characters that the average person had never heard of. And he's elevated those characters. So the fact that he has Superman, I'm like, maybe he can finally figure out Superman since, you know, Christopher Reeve, because no one's really done a good job of it since then. So.
Or he could fuck it up. Who knows?
He could, but
Trisha wants to know, have y'all watched Gotham Knights on CW?
I have.
I don't watch anything CW. So
that show is canceled, unfortunately. It's not that bad of a show.
All the CW shows have like this corny flair I can't get behind. Like,
Superman and Lois is great.
I was a fan, and then like, I don't know, like 9 episodes in, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. Yeah, like, I understand, but it's. I mean, we're now on season. I mean, season 3 is almost over of Superman and Lois, so it's good. For Gotham Knights, I think so many people hate on this show before it ever came out that it had no chance. I think it's kind of a decent story. Like, they're telling the story once again of like a Batman story without Batman in it. Right, that's tough. Like, whenever you like handcuff somebody with that premise, it's like, how's this going to work? And obviously it didn't work, but it's not that bad of a show, honestly. And I don't know where it's going to end, because, you know, it's only got one episode left and it's not going to have a season 2. So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be satisfied with the ending of it, because it was supposed to go longer, but I thought it was fine. I mean, to me, it was better than that Gotham show that was on Fox a few years ago. That show was brutal. And this show is better than that show.
Oh, so, Gotham was a hit on Fox.
I didn't like it. I thought it was tough to watch.
I think for me, if you're going to do a Gotham premise-based show with no Batman, it has to be rated R. Because Gotham's the essence of Gotham is dark, it's gritty.
Yeah.
It needs to be kind of how Titans is shot. Titans is shot in a very gritty, rated R. Like, there's nothing, it's in your face. And CW is too cookie cutter. You can't have a show like that on CW, a rated G show, and like try to pass it over as a Gotham show. It's just, I don't know. But no, I actually like Gotham. Gotham was pretty good. The first couple seasons was like the Joker, the Penguin, like Commissioner Gordon. I love that story because it was dark. The police corruption, all of that shit was so good to me.
I watched the first 2 seasons of Gotham and then I fell off. I couldn't continue. The fact that like the little kid was like becoming Bruce Wayne or whatever. He was Bruce Wayne, but he was like becoming Batman. And then, I don't know. It's, to me, it's like, you know, it's like he felt like he was Batman since he was like 10 years old, you know, or whatever. And it just, I don't like it, but
I don't watch TV,
but no, seriously, if you're watching CW, watch Superman and Lois. Great show. It's coming back for a 4th season, but they're going to cut half the cast and they're cutting down the episodes because CW is incredibly cheap. And I guarantee that in 3 to 5 years, the CW won't be around.
Yikes.
Yeah. Cause the CW is also like tied itself to Live Golf. You know, like that's one of their big draws is the, you know, the Saudi Arabia backed,
golf in front of Frank. Frank's getting into it.
But why is it, why are they cutting calls? If anything, they should be up in the ante. Live Golf is the billionaires.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a network that I think is just going to be gone soon. Mm-hmm. So, my hope, because there was a talk a few weeks ago about how either Gotham Knights or Superman Lois is going to get canceled, and I was hoping that Superman Lois would get canceled, then to get picked up by Max, because that show should be on Max, because it's a better Superman story than what we saw in the DCEU. Like, hands down, much better Superman story. And I'm glad they get another season, but the fact they're cutting the cast and they're cutting the episode number down to 10.
It was 20 before, right?
It's been 15.
15?
The first two seasons is 15. This year it's only going to be 13. There's only one episode left this season. It's next week. So, but I really like that show. I think they really nailed the Superman, like, the Superman story, really. Like, they do a really good job of it. It's an older Superman. So, anyway, that's that. So that's basically our take on the current world of the superhero, you know,
world
universe or whatever. And of course, Secret Invasion, which we'll continue to watch. Now, you know what we think. We want to know what you think. And Brittany, how can people tell us what they think about all the stuff we talked about today?
We always encourage our audience to join us in the live chats today, just like today, rather. We were joined by our UK friends, Nick and Claire, all the way from the UK, Walking with the Woods, Texas Potterhead. Appreciate you being here, as well as Geeking Out from Melly Mel, and also Christian of McDorks. So appreciate y'all being here. And if you're joining us for the replay, let us know your thoughts about the pod in the comments down below. But also, if you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe, hit that notification bell. That way you can be alerted to our next upcoming pod, which will be next week. We will be back, Justin and I, along with Amber of All of Amber's Wands, talking about the fourth movie from the Harry Potter world. I'm very excited about that. That got postponed because I got sick, so I'm happy we're going to come back and actually, you know, finish that. But we also encourage everyone to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's at Watchers Basement. Share your thoughts about what we talk about, what you want us to review, by using the hashtag Watchers Basement. This also helps grow our audience and, you know, get the buzz out about us. And lastly, if you're not into our video podcast, we've got you covered, because we also have our audio podcast available to you on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Don't forget to subscribe to us over there as well and give us a 5-star rating. It really helps us out. We are also on the road, y'all, to, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, 300 subscribers here on YouTube. We're currently at 267. Let's get to 300 by the end of the summer. That's my personal goal. I don't know about y'all. That's just me.
Good goal to have. Yeah, let's do that. So thanks, Brittany. So for Brittany and for Frank, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Have a good night. Bye-bye.